Welcome back to another episode of Whiteboard Weekly. Carl and Ackerman here. We're going to talk about a great cue today, Carl. Go underwater.
Go underwater. Jason, this has been one that's been always very well received by the those who follow Whiteboard Daily. It's a very, very clever cue, especially if we're talking about squatting heavy, and whether it's a front squat or overhead squat or back squat. And I think it's pretty, I think it'd be pretty fun to discuss today.
So first thing I noticed when looking at the picture outside of the drawing is it says it was inspired by, let me see if I'm saying this right. Do you know how to say this guy's name?
La Pizarra del Coach.
La Pizarra del Coach. Does that mean the pizza coach in another language?
I don't think so, but he's a coach who has approached me. He approached me a long time ago. I think he was actually one of the first coaches to approach me to ask if he could translate, kind of redraw the posts that I put on Whiteboard Daily and translate them into Spanish. There are two others along with him, that one of which translates into Portuguese and then one of which translates into French. And I, at the time, I thought it was a really great idea. I just want to make sure that they were, you know, they keep a consistent format, and they have. And he's an awesome guy. And so we correspond quite often. And yeah, so anyway, I learned this from him, and I thought it was a really great idea. And so I wanted to kind of share it, discuss it today.
That's really cool that, you know, people do that. It's awesome that you start something, you know, in the United States and it expands well outside of that. Does he redraw the pictures or take what you've done and kind of white it out and then add the Spanish?
No, he completely redraws the pictures. He will also, he and Matt, the guy who translates into Portuguese, they redraw everything. And they'll use the same colors. And where I have written English, they will rewrite Spanish or Portuguese. And then I do believe that the French translation, I'm not sure, his are so clean. I'm not sure if he just traces what I do, but they've all got their own kind of technique. But it's still, I'm just happy that we're able to communicate to other languages some good coaching content. So I was happy to take them up on their offer.
Well, for those interested, you can check out Go Underwater January 14th of this year on Whiteboard Daily. And you can check out Bajo el Agua on March 5th on La Pizarra del Coach's site. So yeah, we can, yeah. I mean, this podcast is, you know, for English and Spanish speaking people right now.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
So let's look at it, because this is an interesting cue, because it's valid. It's a valid cue, and let's talk about it. You know, it's basically talking about bracing yourself, taking a big breath at the top of a squat. And this could be, you know, you have a front squat drawn, but whether it's a front squat, back squat, overhead squat, you know, we all talk about it. And the reason I say it's interesting is because this is where the cue of tight comes from. You know what I'm talking about, Carl?
Yeah, absolutely. They say get tight. And a lot of people, they say, they think that you need to have your abs. There's a lot of different perspectives on what get abs means. And people think that you have to have a six pack and a nice tapered waist to squat really heavy. But actually you want a nice broad base of support there, and that actually means increasing that intra-abdominal pressure, kind of pushing out throughout your abdominal core, and that's kind of where we're going at this, is we want to increase that pressure throughout the core. And if there's one place where you do not want to take a breath, it's underwater. And that's when you're in the bottom of that squat, or going down at least.
Yeah, well, and what I was implying as well is this cue of tight is one of those cues that people just yell.
Yeah.
Without really understanding what they're saying. They're just like, tight. You know, you hear that all the time, tight. And it's a valid cue in the sense that we're saying, hey, brace that midline. But I think for newer coaches, or you hear it a lot with just when members are kind of cheering one another on, you'll hear that word tight being thrown out there all the time. But this is a really, this is a much better version of that, because you can explain it to a newer person. Hey, take that deep breath like you're about to go underwater, come back up, breathe out.
Yeah, to me, what you just brought up really brings to light something that I take very serious, and that's distinguishing yourself between a cheerleader and a coach. And a cheerleader, or anybody else really, can just say these random spout off knees out or chest up or tight or just random little cues at anybody, anytime, anywhere. But a good coach is somebody who calls people by name, who tells them if they're getting better, same or worse. They tell them specifics and give them actionable cues. And a lot of times I feel like coaches spend a lot of their time just being cheerleaders, where they just yell out little short words sometimes, but you kind of need to go a bit deeper, especially if you see that your athlete doesn't really understand or isn't improving each time you're moving. So hopefully this picture, getting the idea of it, taking a big brace, a big breath, before you go underwater, holding that, and then as you're coming up, this is where the personal preference kind of comes into play. I kind of, at the very last 25% of my standing up, I kind of I let the valve out a little bit. Some people hold it the entire time through. Depends on the weight, the percentage of your one rep max or whatever. But I think you kind of see where I'm going with this one.
Yeah, no, I totally get the image. And it's an interesting question that we get asked a lot, especially by newer athletes, like, hey, where should I breathe? And typically my answer is yes, breathe. You know, if you're thinking too, you know, at like you said, the heavier the weight, the heavier the load, especially in reference to your one rep max, the more important this is. But for a lot of new athletes, it's like, hey, I don't care if you're going up, you're going down, just breathe throughout this. How important do you think the idea of taking that big breath and bracing is, especially when it comes to squatting? But I mean, we can see the same thing when it comes to going overhead. We can see the same thing when it comes to deadlifting. Where would you place this on the scale of like least important to most important?
That's a really good point. I got to say, it's like one of the top three things that you need to think about when you are going to lift a heavy weight, especially when it comes to a barbell. You know, take a big breath, brace, and then push evenly through your feet. Along the lines here, what I want to communicate to people, and I've done this before too, is some people kind of get over-exaggerated or overexcited on taking that massive breath. And I think that can kind of lead them to getting that dizzy spell, especially during a close to a one rep max effort. It doesn't need to be this massive inhalation of where you're filling up the entire capacity of your lungs. You just need a good breath that's big enough to kind of push out on your abs, make that belly belt, and keep that pressure as you're going through the range of motion. I'm not sure. Have you ever felt that, where you kind of feel, you start to see stars when you take too big of a breath during a maximal effort?
Oh yeah. I do that on purpose. Get yourself like a little free buzz, you know?
Free buzz. Yeah.
I've always said this. I used to coach with Mark Ripito a lot. I traveled around with him doing starting strength, and he would tell people, hey, if you can hold your breath for all five reps, that's better, right? As soon as you start to let your breath out, you can never regain that much again.
No.
So, you know, for me, if I'm doing a one, a three, or a five, depending on what the movement is and how long I'm under that tension, I try to hold my breath the entire time.
Yeah, I agree. Along those lines, it kind of reminds me of Kelly Starrett, who I know, you know, we both know, he described like getting into the position for pulling off the ground, whether it's like a clean or a snatch or a deadlift. And I subscribe to this method. There are many different methods out there depending on your style. But he likes to kind of set that torso, that neutral spine position, and take a nice big breath before you bow and address the bar and go down to grab the bar. And the reason being for that is that your spine in that tall, nice tall position is the strongest that it's ever going to be. And you want to carry that position with you as you go down to pick up the bar. And sometimes you see athletes who will kind of be all wormy and loosey-goosey, they bend over to get the bar, their hands are on the bar, and then their hips kind of drop a little bit and they start to get ready to lift. But the thing is that you've kind of lost that opportunity to get set, and now you're forcing your body to get set while you're down in that compromised position. So being able to, kind of relating it back to this go into the water cue, we want to take that big breath at the very top of our rep, brace everything, brace that spine, and then carry that pressure through our core, down and up, and then get ready for the next rep.
I agree. And I think the same can be said about some other movements. You know, for me, whether it's a front squat or back squat, I tend to take that breath almost as I'm stepping under the bar, because as soon as it's on my shoulders, be it front or back, I know I can't fill my lungs up as much.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with you on the deadlift. Even same for like a jerk. I might put my hands on the bar where I want them, take that deep breath as I kind of step under it and unrack the bar.
Yeah.
I think this also lends itself to a great talking point about belts.
Yes.
So what's your opinion on belts, Carl?
I use a belt as little as possible. And if I do need to use a belt, I make sure it's when I'm kind of playing around. Well, I shouldn't say playing around. It's when I'm addressing, we'll say 85 to 100% of my one rep max. That, to me, that's kind of when I feel like you should rely on a belt for safety. And the reason being is because I feel like you should, I don't want to say belts are a crutch at all. I don't believe that, but I do believe that you can, it depends on your goals, right? You know, if you're a power lifter, all for it, go for it. Use a belt as much as you like, but I think for general physical preparedness, I look back on a post that I did a long time ago. I might really do this one again. It's called Don't Be Dumbo. And I'm sure you remember who Dumbo is. Dumbo is that Disney elephant. And as you recall the story, he had to have that feather in order for him to fly. And he felt like that's what he needed to fly. And he didn't. He just needed his big, beautiful ears, right? He already had the capability. And I feel like CrossFitters become so reliant on knee sleeves and wrist straps and chalk and lifters and belts and all of these things, when in reality you start to condition yourself to think that you need things more than what you really do, and it kind of makes you a weaker individual. We don't want that. So I don't know, how do you feel about that?
No, I'm in firm agreement with you. I think, you know, it's always interesting to me watching people grab belts. I can't tell you the last time I wore a belt or a knee sleeve or even lifters. Like I got to the point about 4 or 5 years ago with CrossFit where I felt like, I felt two things. I felt like A, I was relying on some of this equipment to help me, whether it was move better or lift more. And secondarily, I felt like, okay. And I do believe there's a time and a place for all of these, for the record. But for me and where I'm at 42 years old, I was like, man, if I can't do it naturally, you know, I don't want to be able to do it. Cause a belt or shoes or sleeves, they're going to allow me to lift more, but it's also saying, hey, your body can't do this without it. So is that safe? Yeah. And I do think it is done properly, but it's interesting to me. There's always people at every box that, you know, from the barbell, an empty barbell, they're throwing their belt on. And my attitude would be, hey, if you want to use a belt, cool, but it should be, like you said, only when needed. And I think it's important to remember a belt's not necessarily protecting you. A belt's also a tactile cue for this of go underwater. Take that deep breath, push it into that belt, hold it tight. And I think people misunderstand what the belt is for and think, okay, this is protecting my back. Where Ripito used to say that all the time, a belt should just be your cue to have a strong brace. So,
yeah,
you know, with that being said, I would challenge people to A, if you are the person that's always throwing their belt on, limit it. And that goes for your belt, your shoes. You know, maybe it's every time you front squat, don't throw your shoes on. Maybe just one rep max days. But it's a big crutch for people, any of this equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. I've gotten to the point where, and this is one of the benefits of having your own garage gym, because you don't have to worry about rules and stuff. But I try to go as barefoot as possible, barefoot as much as possible, just because even Metcons or Nanos or whatever, you start to wonder, like, okay, why do I really need to have my shoes on? Like, if I'm not running, if my feet aren't going to be in danger of stepping on something sharp, then, you know, why do I really need them right now? I found great benefit, because that way your body becomes accustomed to being in these positions without relying on any kind of outside factors, whether it be the heel lift or compression or support or grip or whatever. So yeah, I'm a big advocate for just going, I guess, as naked as possible, right?
Yeah, naked training. You know, and I think, like you're saying, you know, again, time and a place, but it's really cheap and free mobility, right? If you're squatting barefoot or you're even squatting in your Nanos, it's forcing you to work for a better position, where if you throw those lifters on, they're putting you in that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's dive a little deeper. Go underwater. If you look, there's three images. You see the waves. So you have this big breath and brace. So someone takes this big, deep breath in. Now, on this first image, you have arrows pointing in two different directions. What are you implying there?
Yeah, I'm implying that there's a big breath that goes in through the mouth, and then that goes into the pressure, that IAP, intra-abdominal pressure, into the core, where you're kind of pushing out. And in the past, we've also used the analogy of an aluminum can, where you're pushing out on all sides of the can. There's trying to think of some other analogies to kind of some cues are like, show me how fat you are, where you are basically breathing through your belly, taking a belly breath, where you're pushing through your belly and you're making it strong and stable. So yeah, that's kind of what those arrows imply there.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And you say intra-abdominal pressure, you're pushing out, holding the breath on the eccentric portion or descent, controlling the valve on the way up, and then exhaling and repeating. So like I said earlier, for 3 to 5 reps, I might hold my breath. What's your opinion on that?
I usually, for me, again, also, just like that, the favorite answer for most coaches is going to be is it depends.
Yeah.
But for me, yeah, for me, I'm usually, I put control of the valve there, because there's another post that I did where people got super upset about, what was it? It was like, does your balloon leak? And referring to exhaling on the way up. And I've seen completely different sides of this. I've seen strong men, world's strongest men, who will advocate by saying you hold your breath the entire length of the rep all the way till you're standing up. Some people are like, there's no way I could do that because I pass out and I see stars. And so it was kind of mixed reviews. And even myself too, I find myself just naturally at the very, like I said, the very last, like 80% of, as I'm standing up, I kind of start to let out some air. I'm not exactly sure why I do that, to be honest, but that, to me, it feels more comfortable for my head pressure, I guess. And then at the very top, I'll exhale and then I'll take another breath and go back into it. I can't hold my breath that long for that many reps, like if we're talking 3 to 5.
Well, and I think it's also relative to the movement. I'm thinking more back squat. I tend to be able to hold my breath a little better on the back squat. And I think it's just the way you're compressing your midline, how hard, you know, where the weight is sitting on your shoulders versus, you know, where it is on your back squat on the backside of your body. So there's definitely, you know, it's definitely relative to the movement. A question you get a lot by newer people when you're telling them to hold your breath is often, you know, am I going to pass out? Have you ever seen somebody pass out from holding their breath?
No, I haven't.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. It was regionals, I don't know when, it was probably 2009, 10 or 11, when it was, the Northeast Regional was in Canton, Massachusetts, which was the Reebok HQ at the time. I don't remember the workout, but there was a point in the workout where there was maybe like 50 front squats at 135. And my buddy Scott from New Jersey, I was running the event and I look over and he's passed out on the platform.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, what happened? And you know, he did not pass out because he held his breath. He passed out because the bar basically choked him out.
Oh, geez.
So you see that once in a while in the CrossFit world or in the lifting world, but it's highly unlikely to happen to a novice who's trying to hold their breath. I mean, you're going to breathe out before you pass out.
Yeah, I think sometimes CrossFitters might get a bit too comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's the case right there. That's interesting. You got to listen to your body, obviously, and you got to, know your limits.
Yeah. I think there's a difference with being comfortable, uncomfortable, and being dumb. And I love my buddy Scott, you know, but I think that was just one of those things. It's no different than jiu-jitsu, right? Sometimes a choke just immediately puts you out. And sometimes, you know, you can fight it a little bit. He probably just threw that bar in the right spot at the right time, you know, and down he went. So
yeah.
I love this cue of go underwater. So, and this is a great example too of, you're probably never going to yell, go underwater during a workout.
No, I don't think so. And this is, you know, we always talk about like when is the best time to give a cue to an athlete. And we've also discussed about, like, you know, it's not during their first attempt at a one rep max. A lot of times the best time to provide a cue is during those warmups. And even especially during like the coach's demo, I feel like, because that way they can kind of see you doing it prior to them doing it. And then they can already kind of think about, okay, this is when I should be thinking this. And it makes the application a lot smoother. All the while, I think it's also to remember, it's important to remember not to be talking too much while you're demoing. We talked about that before, and especially Chuck Carswell, Adrian Bosman, those are just a few names that come to mind who I've learned that from, where you just want to let the movement do the talking. You can set the stage with your words and you can say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. And then you do it. And then you can say, this is what I want to see you do, a better performed rep, something like that. But there's no need to be talking so much while you're doing your demo for your coach, your athletes.
You know, what this makes me think of is, I don't remember the last time, and honestly, if I've ever had people practice doing this unloaded. Is this something you would consider?
Yeah, I think it'd be a great one to do unloaded, especially with an air squat. Because even during these gymnastics movements, even, you know, when people are talking about doing push-ups or air squats or handstand push-ups or ring dips or whatever, I'll get athletes to ask me when they are supposed to breathe. And just like you alluded to earlier, your body's going to kind of let you know when it needs to breathe. I would suggest this is like one of those things that you bring to mind, even when you got the PVC pipe in your athlete's hands and they're about to go do some heavy front squats or heavy back squats and say, hey, listen, I want you guys to imagine you're going underwater. So take that big breath before you go down, hold it all the way until you stand up, and then rest and reset, or exhale and reset.
Yeah, I think that could be a great drill. And, you know, along with something like teaching athletes how to bail a barbell, right? That's something we often forget about. It's something I like to do when we have a front squat day or we have a back squat day, because it's very common to have someone new in class that has never felt that comfort of being able to just drop a bar to the floor. So, you know, teaching them this deep breath, teaching them how to bail can really set them up for success, you know, on both sides of the lift. So when they're in the middle of it, they're going to be a lot more comfortable and a lot stronger.
Yeah. I think there's some kind of story about when they were building the Golden Gate Bridge, and people were falling off and dying as they're building the bridge. And once they installed these safety nets below the bridge, like productivity like skyrocketed because people knew that they were safe if they fell. And I think the same thing kind of applies to, you know, when you got a heavy barbell on your back, if you know that it's not gonna be the end of the world if you aren't able to stand it up, and you are, and you know how to bail, and you know that it's not gonna crush you, that your confidence is gonna go up. And that's what you want. You want aggressiveness, you want confidence, and you just wanna have fun.
How many people do you think fell off the bridge before they were like, hey, maybe we should put a net down?
I'm really fascinated by that story. I think it's worth, I'll do some research, and of course we'll put that in the show notes. But have you heard that story before?
I've not. Not until you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm always trying to, you know, just like any other coach, I'm always trying to find ways to kind of relate stories to movement or whatever. So that one always stuck in my mind for sure.
You would think that'd be something, hey, we're going to build a bridge, let's have a little safety precaution. And then, you know, hey, budget reasons, it didn't happen. Okay, somebody fell off. Well, when 9 more people fall off, we'll spend money on a net, you know? So I love it. Yeah. And, you know, and I like the analogy. Set your members up for success by providing these safety measures. That's really what you're doing. Teaching them this breath, teaching them how to bail, obviously teaching the movement mechanics. That's really what we're doing. We're providing our athletes a safer environment to excel.
I was going to say, for the most part, you know, a lot of people who walk into a CrossFit gym, they're already going to be kind of intimidated in the first place, perhaps. You know, they may have never touched a barbell before, and they see the deadlift as the name implies, a deadlift. They don't want to, they're kind of scared of that. So any way that you can instill confidence and bring safety to the environment, that's going to benefit everyone.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because something I hear a lot with newer coaches especially is like, all right, guys, this is a really hard lift, or this is really challenging, or you know, this, you know, could be dangerous. And it's like, why are you saying that? Why are you scaring people right now?
Yeah. All the while you got, like, you know, I'm not sure about the demographic of their class, but you might have like 60, 70 year old people. And they're like, man, they just want to have a good work. They just want to have fun. You know, they just want to exercise. And you're up there saying, okay, this one's going to kill you. I'm like, come on, just let's be real here.
Yeah. One of the coaches at my old box used to really like, all right, guys, you got to go into the pain cave, and this is what Matt Frazier would do, and I want to see you guys drooling on yourself. And I'm like, none of us want that. None of us want to feel like that. You know, yeah. I get it. I understand where that's coming from, but know your audience. And that's really where that's relevant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other statements on go underwater, Carl?
You know, I think we covered it pretty well. I do, as I have done many times before, I see that I quoted Dr. Aaron Horsage on this one, who runs Squat University. And I think I gave him a mistag there, but I think he's got well over, it's kind of funny. I was going to say, I suggest following Squat University, but everyone who's listening to this probably already does, because he's got 1.4 million followers. He's definitely one of the best, and I've been lucky enough to be able to correspond with him and talk about ideas and collaborations together through this platform. So it's always, for me, I always enjoy learning from some of the best in our field, and I definitely consider him one of those guys. So yeah, check him out if you haven't already.
Awesome. Yeah, great stuff over there. Like you said, I think you sent people on this one to a different squat university, but I'm sure most listeners know where to go.
Yeah, definitely. I'll go ahead and repost this one later on so people can have better access to it. And I'll go ahead and edit that caption for people.
I think if you're going to repost this, we need to see a shark in the water.
Shark? Well, hey, I think it kind of goes back to the danger thing, right? We don't want to do that.
All right, then maybe goldfish. I love it. Yeah. I love it, Carl. You want to take us out?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jason, thank you again for a great discussion. This has easily become one of my favorite times of the week when you and I can sit down and talk shop. And I hope that people who are listening, more than anything, I hope that you guys gain some kind of benefit, some valuable nugget from what we talk about. So thank you for listening so much. We really appreciate it. Please, if you haven't already subscribed, please give us a like. Please share the podcast with other people. It really makes a big difference, and we really appreciate it. So, and keeping with the water theme here about going underwater, I want everyone to remember that a high tide lifts all boats. So together, let's keep on rising those tides. And thank you so much again. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks again for listening to today's episode of Whiteboard Weekly. On behalf of Carl and myself, Jason Ackerman, we really appreciate the download. We really appreciate you sharing our episodes with friends, families, your box owner, your buddies at the gym, anyone that's willing to listen to us talk about all things CrossFit, all things coaching, and all things coaches development. We do this because we have an absolute love and passion for it, and we hope that you can tell that through our talking and through each episode. If you haven't already, please feel free to leave us a review on any podcast platform. It goes a long way in helping us spread the word. Once again, thanks again for listening.